is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Sing it, church. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty. Who is worthy? Who is worthy? None beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am.
The great I am.
lift your voice this morning, church.
Who is worthy on this mighty God Almighty, the great I am. The great I am. The great I
Every year I like to come up with and pray about the Lord, just what is our theme? Where do we need to go as a church body? What's our next steps? And what is a motivator for us? And for whatever reason, Ephesians 5 just keeps lingering in my mind over and over again. And really this chapter, the Apostle Paul is telling us how to live our Christian life. If you look at this whole chapter, and we're going to be looking at it basically this year, chapter 5 of Ephesians is going to be one of the theme places where we grasp our life, how we live, who we are, what we should do. And it simply starts with these first four words in chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. We are to be an imitator of God in the world in which we live. If you come down to verse number 16, this is where our theme verse comes from. But let me read verse 15 first. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Here it is. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Boy, there's so much more. I can't wait to get into all this. There's so much to tell you from Ephesians 5, but here's my point for today. God is, we talked about last year, walking by faith, not by sight. Remember that? That was our theme, and I believe God was encouraging us to step out in the unknown. But this year, I believe he's asking us to do one thing. He's asking us to maximize our opportunities, to put our leaders in the place where they can serve best. Instead of trying to become something that somebody else is, he wants us to be who we are, but in the maximum way, to take full advantage of what Wellspring has to offer. Let's pray just a moment. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We praise your holy name for what you did last year. And Lord, we stand on the edge of expectation for this new year. And Father God, we don't know right this minute what opportunities you will place before us. But Lord, our desire and our goal is to make the most of every opportunity that we do see. Lord, help us to realize that every moment is a choice. Help us to realize that every opportunity is a moment in our lives when we can change the life of someone else. We can share the faith with someone else. We can show miracles to someone else. And Father God, I pray for Wellspring Community Church to make the most of every opportunity, because truly the world is in a very precarious place. And if we don't understand, if we can't notice the signs of the times, if we can't be aware of the urgency of this moment, then Lord, we will fail in your purpose. I pray that our hearts would stir as your Spirit moves us. And I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me. That each of what we say today be according to your will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me just say a minute more. As we look ahead at the theme verse, what does it mean to make the most of every opportunity? As I thought about last night, I'm really going to restate those that came last night. You can take a nap. Because I want to say the same thing. Last night we had our New Year's commitment service here. Beautiful time of just committing the new year to God in advance. But really three things came about, that came to my mind about this new year. Three things that can keep us from making the most of every opportunity. And this is where I want to challenge you. Because I could say something simple like, hey, do better this year. Is that going to help you? Or I could say, do your best. Hey, there's a good one. Do your best. Is that going to help you? No. I want to talk about three things quickly. Three things that you and I need to do if we're going to make the most of 2016. Okay? And I want to be very serious with you here just for a minute. One thing that comes to my mind that holds us all back is sin, the choices that we choose to make. And you know what? We have to make a decision. I want to challenge you to look back at 2015 and ask yourself, what area of my life, what is in my life right now, what sin or what area do I know that I have to deal with, but I keep putting off? Now, don't look at me like, oh, I don't have any areas to deal with. I know that we all know, if we're honest, that there's some areas in our lives that are hindering us from becoming all that we need to become, right? And if you don't know, you need to pray and ask the Spirit to reveal it to you. But I'm asking you to take one of these things. Instead of saying, do your best, I'm going to challenge you to attack one of those areas of those sins. Could be an attitude problem, could be a habit, a bad habit you have. It could be some kind of pride or some kind of obesity or whatever it is, something that you're into, something that has got a hold of your mind and is trying to destroy your faith. You know that thing. It could be doubt. It could be fear. It could be laziness. You know. But instead of saying do your best, I instead would like for you to choose one thing to attack and to repent of. What is one thing, sin, or area that you need to repent of in 2016? And you remember the word repent, metanoia. Metanoia means to turn from something to God. Now, you can't just turn from one sin to another. That doesn't help you. You have to turn from that sin or that area to God. In other words, whatever time or whatever investment you put into that sin, you have to change that and put God into that time. Invest your life into God during that time rather than doing what you've been doing. It's one of the hardest things in the world to repent. But the truth is, there is no revival in your life without true heart repentance in your life first. There is no revival without true repentance first. Number two, another thing that will hinder you in 2016 is if you continue to carry the baggage of unforgiveness. If there's someone or if there's some situation in your life that you're hanging on to today, and you can look back in last year and go, you know what? I spent so much time hating that person or so much time regretting that situation because I couldn't forgive myself or I couldn't forgive them or I couldn't get past this situation. Do you understand that unforgiveness is a poison that destroys us? The scripture is so profound about the need for forgiveness. Jesus says, if you choose not to forgive them, what will he not do? Forgive you. And he says, as you forgive them, I will forgive you. That's why that 1 John 1:9 verse is so important. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he says, as I have forgiven you, so you should forgive them. I know this is not an easy process. I know many of you and me, we've all been burned. Is there an amen somewhere? Has somebody treated us inappropriately? Has somebody put down our name? Has somebody, you know, called us a liar? Has somebody said something rude about us that was not true? Of course. But if we carry that into 2016, we are limiting what God can do. Because that will be where our heart and our energy is focused, on hating and hurting. Instead, we just release that debt to God and we say, look, this is not right. I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying this, but I will no longer be captive to that person. Because you know what? They probably don't even know what you're feeling. They're probably not even aware. I call it the oblivion principle. That person who hurt you, they don't even think about you. They're like, who is that? I don't even know what happened. But we are held hostage by that unforgiveness. So who or what do you need to forgive? And believe me, I'll help you. You need a counselor. You need a mentor. You need someone to pray with you and support you. I will help you. Any one of us will help you. Just come to us and say, look, I need you to help me forgive this person. And then number three, instead of just saying do better, let me encourage you to do this. Pick one aspect of your spiritual life. Pick one thing in your spiritual life and say, you know what? I am going to dedicate my year to improving in this area. I'm going to be a better studier. I'm going to be a better prayer. I'm going to commit myself to daily prayer. I'm going to commit myself to daily devotion. I'm going to commit myself to be a server. I'm going to commit myself to serve God. I'm going to commit myself to not expect other people to serve me, but I'm going to be a server. Whatever it is, you find one specific thing that you want to focus on in 2016. And I just challenge you to write it down somewhere. And you say, you know, this is the sin I'm going to work on. This is the person or situation I'm going to work on forgiving. This is the specific virtue, specific spiritual thing that I want to work on this year. And you will be much more likely to have a real transformation. This picture of this woman, this potter. Now, we have one better than this right here in our own audience right here. She could have done this demonstration for you very clearly. But you see, this person takes this clay, and they put it on the potter's wheel, and they begin to push. I mean, that poor clay, if it had feelings, would really have to go through a lot of pressure to change, right? And in fact, you and I and that clay have a lot in common. We're both made from the same stuff, right? But the difference is that God breathed into us free will. He gave us the right to choose how we respond to the pushing and pulling that he is doing. How we respond to the furnace that is trying to make us into who we need to be. And the question remains, how will you make the most of this opportunity this year? You know, I can't come to this place without my favorite story about 1269. A fellow by the name of Kublai Khan. You ever heard of Kublai Khan in history? 1269 AD, Kublai Khan was basically the ruler of most of the world, including India, including China, and including the Middle East. This one guy ruled over probably the hardest territory to reach for Christ in the whole world, these three areas. He ruled over those areas. And Marco Polo and his brother had been sharing the faith with Kublai Khan. And he said to Matteo Polo, he said, if you'll go home today, and if you'll send me 100 missionaries today, I will have my whole nation accept your God and believe in this Christ. If you'll send me 100 missionaries. You know what happened? 10 years later, the church sent two friars to Kublai Khan's office. And he said, if you guys don't believe this, what you're talking about that much, then I don't have any desire to believe it either. One of the greatest missed opportunities in the history of the world. Because nobody wanted to go. Nobody wanted to serve. And now those three parts of the world, China, India, and the Middle East, are the most difficult, unreached people groups in the entire world. Man. When Paul talks about making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil, he means today. Do you feel it in the air? Do you feel the change in the world and in the nationalities and in the culture and in the politics? Do you feel it in the air? Do you think that we can keep saying to ourselves, you know, I'll wait till tomorrow, or I'll let someone up stand up to the plate? I think no. We, you, me, we need to understand that today is all we have. And all that God can control under our control is us. And if we will only make the most of every opportunity, if we'll take seriously to deal with our sin problem, if we'll take seriously to deal with our unforgiveness problem, if we take seriously to practice and discipline ourselves and become the great jewel that he wants to make in that furnace, that he wants to heat up and make, he is making it. But you and I have to choose to be made. Lord Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when we all must make a choice to walk in your way or to keep walking in our own way. Lord, even as good Christians in the room, every one of us has some sin problem we're dealing with. Do not let us walk away as if we don't. Many of us, Lord, in this room have some unforgiveness issue in our life that is holding us back right this minute. Today is the day of freedom. Today we can come and say, Lord, I release this person to you. Lord, I forgive myself and my failings to you. Lord, I give it all to you at this altar today. Every one of us has some area in our lives that need to be improved, where we can be a better servant, a better server, a better person, a better disciple, a more disciplined leader. And Lord, we're not a victim of 2016. We have the power to make a choice. And I pray, Lord, that as we close this service with prayer, that each of us would take this time to be seriously mindful of what your Spirit is saying to us right now. Just let the Holy Spirit talk to you. What does He want you to change? Don't miss this opportunity.